HWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Welcome along to the FWA podcast. Every week we get one of the best football writers in the business to have a chat with us for 10-15 minutes about the week's big stories, and looking forward to the weekend's best games as well. Delighted to say that the chief Northern football reporter for The Sun, Neil Custis, is with us on the line. You well, Neil?
Hi, good evening. Afternoon, rather. Yeah, fine, thank you.
The great thing about podcasts is they could be listening at any time of the day, couldn't they? Not the greatest week in the Champions League, of course, with Arsenal and Manchester City joining Chelsea out of the competition. It was a lot more likely that those two would go, to be fair. I just wanted to have a chat with you about the respective managers, Neil, first of all, because William Hill have got Manuel Pellegrini at 9-2 to be the next manager to go, whereas Arsene Wenger's 50-1 to be the next manager to go. Now, we know Arsenal are a much more stable club, of course, but just from a discussion point of view, you really would say that Wenger has done the worst job of the two in the Champions League. It was a tall order, beating Barcelona first of all, and they didn't manage to do it, Man City. But Wenger's team were far worse in the first leg than City were over either of the two legs, I would say.
Yeah, but it's a sign of expectations, I think, that the odds there. I mean, the expectations at City are far higher than at Arsenal. That shouldn't be the case for a club like Arsenal with so much success in the past. But it is the case because of the money spent on the team and the club. And you know, that by now, having taken over six, seven years ago, Sheikh Mansour and Khaldun Al-Mubarak was expecting City to be a lot closer to the likes of Barcelona on the biggest stage in world football. But they're not. They're a million miles away. They're as far away now as they were when they first got in the Champions League. So and you look at what happened to Roberto Mancini, and that's why the odds are heavily stacked on Pellegrini going, particularly if the downward slide continues at City, and they're currently on one.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah, in the Premier League as well, to a certain extent. Have you got any reasons why that they haven't improved, and why Arsenal never seem to be able to get past this stage? Now, Arsenal have had bad luck in the draws in recent times. They always seem to come up against a good side, i.e. a Bayern Munich or a Barcelona. But this year, obviously, they had Monaco. I mean, I favoured Chelsea to get through as well. Are we a percentage away from the best teams in Europe? Are we not quite tactically as good as we should be? What do you think it is?
Well, I think we had a real purple patch, didn't we, where we were constantly getting to semi-finals and finals. I mean, I think we had about seven teams in as many finals, if you count Chelsea and Manchester United, you know, as two in one. And, you know, between 2008 and probably 2013, we were the dominant country in this competition, because in terms of the number of teams that were getting through. I know Barcelona beat United twice in finals, but we were getting to these finals. We were getting to the latter stages. I do think it's something that goes in cycles. I don't think that suddenly English football is particularly poor. I just think that you've got an exceptional Bayern Munich side, you've got an exceptional Barcelona side. It's the Monaco result that really is the one that people will look at and think, well, you know, what is going on there? That was just an awful performance, and you cannot have an awful 10 minutes in the Champions League, never mind an awful night. Yeah. And that is the one which people are looking at to suggest that we are miles away. Chelsea, the tactics of Chelsea in the second leg were baffling, in terms of they just wanted to sort of, I don't know, annoy their way through rather than play football to get through. And that was the problem there. Chelsea certainly had the team to get through. So that was slightly baffling, but I don't think we're as far away as everyone is suggesting. And you know, suddenly our league's a poor one and behind Germany and Spain and Italy and everywhere else. I don't think it is.
William Hill, just come back to City and Pellegrini. William Hill are offering prices on whether he'll be the manager on the opening day of the 2015-2016 Premier League season. It's 2-1 on that he isn't, and 6-4 that he is still the manager, and they're already priced up who will replace him. I always find it a little a little harsh on the manager when he's still in a job, but Neil, but that's the world we live in. Do you think he'll go if they don't win the Premier League?
A lot depends on this last night. If they finish second, I don't think he will go. But if they were to tail away, which they could easily at the moment, the form they're in and the attitude of some of the players are showing, they could tail away to third or fourth. And if that were to happen, then you've got to question the manager and the motivation of the players and what on earth is going on behind the scenes, because these players are an awful lot better than what they've been producing over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, very true. It takes us nicely onto the Premier League. Just before I do turn to the domestic action, just give you the prices for the Champions League with the remaining eight teams. Bayern Munich are the 9-4 favourites. Barcelona now 5-2 second favourites, where it's been Real Madrid as second favourites and favourites for most of the season. Madrid are 100-30. Then you get a big jump up to the rest. PSG are 10-1. Juve 11-1. Atletico Madrid 12-1. 33-1 for Porto and 40-1 for Monaco. The draw for the quarter-finals of the Champions League is on Friday. We're recording this on Thursday. It's on Friday in Neon. I don't mean in gaudy fluorescent colours, neons in Switzerland. There's another price, Neil, very interesting I've just seen. 12-1 for no English team to be in the quarter-finals in 2015-2016. It looks a big price, but you wouldn't expect this to happen twice in a row, would you?
No, I wouldn't. Mm. And I expect Manchester United to be there.
Mm.
Because I think Van Gaal, with his experience, with the spending power, with the players they already have, if what he's trying to do, you know, does start to click, I can see them being a force again, and I can certainly see Chelsea doing it as well. So I wouldn't put any money on that. I mean, I can see us having two sides in that in the quarterfinals next time round. I really don't think this is a desperate situation. I mean, you know, you look back, you know, Real Madrid had an awful run until of late. They went over two decades without winning the competition and stuff like that, and they weren't written off as no hopers, or the Spanish league written off as no hopers. You know, there was a huge gap between Barcelona winning their first European Cup and then coming again winning the second. So I think English football is still up there, and it's not. This is not a permanent decline.
No, we are guilty sometimes of short termism. That's for sure. The Premier League weekend, obviously, lots to play for at the bottom of the table, where Hull in 15th, down to Burnley occupying the last relegation spot, only 3 points separating them. But a lot of the attention this week has been on the top of the table. Chelsea 6 points clear, of course, with a game in hand on Manchester City. They're away at Hull on one of the Sunday TV games. Man City kicked the weekend off. It's going to be fascinating to see how Man City react to going out of the Champions League, and Arsenal as well, who are away at Newcastle. When you look back, Neil, Man City usually bounce back quite well. I mean, last season when they went out of this other Champions League to Barcelona, they went on a really nice run, actually.
Yeah, but I just don't see it happening this time.
No.
Because of what I've seen in the run up to the Barcelona defeat last night. They've been losing. You know, they've given away 5 points to Burnley. One, the home game, they were 2-0 up, and ended up drawing 2-2. They've given away 2 points to Hull. They only needed a last minute goal to get a draw against Hull at home. The thing with this Manchester City side is, and I think we'll see it again on Saturday, is that they think they can just turn up and get the result against lesser opposition. When they're playing the likes of a Manchester United or Liverpool or Arsenal, you know, it's better. But against teams that are struggling, they just think they're going to win it, and they don't work to win it. And it's what Roberto Mancini used to tear his hair out about. He'd constantly go on about the mentality of the club and the players, and what he was talking about was the mentality that Manchester United have had for decades under Sir Alex Ferguson, where they would not win the league necessarily because they'd beaten Arsenal, or they'd beaten Chelsea, or they'd beaten Liverpool. Sometimes they'd even lose to Man City in the derby. The difference is Man City would then go and lose their next game, whereas Manchester United would go and win their next 5, 6, 7 on the trot against teams like Southampton, like a West Brom, like Crystal Palace. They'd always win those games because they treated each game as important as the last one, and they went into each game with the same determination, drive and vigour as the last one, no matter what the opponent was. And this is what Manchester City don't do.
Yeah, very good point. Do you think they could sacrifice second spot? The way you're talking, I imagine you do think that they might not finish second behind Chelsea.
Well, if you look at the I'd be interested to hear the odds, actually. But, I mean, if you look at the form guide, the way Liverpool haven't lost a game in the league since they lost at Old Trafford 2 or 3 months ago. Arsenal are absolutely... You take that Monaco performance to one side, the Monaco home performance, otherwise they're absolutely flying. And Manchester United are also... If they can build on what they did against that first half against Spurs last Sunday, they're also on an upward trend. So I can see City being clawed back away from that second spot.
Yeah, the form guide shows Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United, then West Brom and Man City is the top six in the form guide, if you like. Man City on 58 points, Arsenal on 57, Manchester United on 56, Liverpool on 54, then 4 points back to Southampton now. It looks like it's going to be contested by City, Arsenal, United and Liverpool for second place. Liverpool, the betting with William Hill, you can bet without Chelsea. So I guess that's what we're kind of talking about here. Who finishes second? Man City is still odds on at 8-13. Arsenal 15-8. Manchester United 7-1. And Liverpool 12-1. Brings us on nicely to that big game on Sunday afternoon, Neil, when Liverpool host Manchester United. Always a great game. And there's something on it this year as well. If Liverpool were to win that and close the gap to Manchester United, they'd leapfrog them and could even catch Arsenal if Arsenal didn't beat Newcastle. That 12-1 for Liverpool to finish second would be a lot shorter than it is now, wouldn't it? And not a lot of ifs in there, but it's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean if I was putting a tenner on any of those odds, I would for second place, I'd put it on Liverpool. I think that's the best. I think that's a great price. The way things are going at the moment, particularly with Manchester United heading to Anfield, the game has taken on much greater importance than it looked like, say, a month ago, six weeks ago. It just looked like a sort of pride thing. But now, if United were to get out of it without losing, I think that would be a great result for them because they've still got City at home, they've still got Arsenal at home. And the great thing about Manchester United's running is that they're playing teams where they can have a direct effect on what they're aiming for. You know, it's not like they're playing someone else and then looking for someone else's result. It's down to them. It's down to their results about what they can do here. And I'm still not ruling out. You know, we're just talking about second place here. Let's not forget, Manchester United had an 8-point lead with 6 games to go when Roberto Mancini won the title with Manchester City on that dramatic last day. 8 points with 6 games to go. Now, if Chelsea were to lose one more, would have one more slip-up in the next, say, 2 games, and everybody else continues on their current trend, the likes of Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United, then it could suddenly get interesting. Mm. It really could at the top.
Yeah, it could, couldn't it? Yeah, I mean, we're kind of almost... I mean, the bookies definitely are almost saying Chelsea are home and hose, but you're right, anything could happen in that title race. Who do you think wins out that Liverpool-Man United game? Do you think it'll be a draw?
It's a really tough one because there's been two or three false dawns with Manchester United this season where I've thought, yeah, this is clicking now and things are coming good and they're going to go on a run, and then an awful performance comes around the corner. They haven't actually been awful results. It's just the performances which are making it look like they're having an awful season, which actually, but results-wise, I think they've got the third best defence. I think they're the third top scorers. And results-wise, and the recent run is not actually that bad. I think it's 5 wins and 7. So, if they can do that without playing well, what's going to happen when they do start playing well? What they'll need? They'll need a first half. They'll need a 90-minute performance like the first half against Spurs. I mean, they were helped by the fact that Spurs come to play, and that leaves space, and the United players will thrive in that space. Liverpool, but likewise come Sunday, Liverpool need to win that game. They need to win that game for their aspirations for the Champions League. So it's going to be a heck of a battle. And I can see it. I can see it being an entertaining game coming out, a 2-2 draw with Wayne Rooney getting the goals for Manchester United.
Very nice. And that'll be a fantastic afternoon's entertainment. If that's the case, then set us up nicely for our Clásico on Sunday night as well. We ask your colleagues from the Football Writers Association, Neil, for a bet of the week every week. I'm sensing it might come in that game.
Yeah, I'd what the odds on 2-2 and Rooney getting both Manchester United goals will be long.
Yes, they would be. I'm not even sure if we could get that bet, but I'm not sure if I can find it for you. But I mean, I'll give you a couple of variations. I mean, the straight draw is 9-4.
Yeah.
2-2 is 14-1.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney to score 2 goals or more is 10-1. Mm. 80-1 for the hat trick, by the way. So you know, you'd have to request the price to put those together. But I think there are lots of ways of doing it. There, you could have Wayne Rooney just to score a goal in a 2-2 draw. That might be another way of looking at it.
Yeah, Rooney to score in a 2-2 draw would be I think would be a good bet. But but going forward, I think Liverpool's finished second at, what did you say it was? Was it 12-1?
12-1.
Yeah, I think that's a great bet as well.
Yeah. Rooney to score first, and the match to be a 2-2 draw is 40-1 as well. So there's a few nice little prizes
there. I might put some money on that myself now.
It's one of those things, isn't it? When you're watching it and you haven't put money in it and you see Rooney get two and then it finishes 2-2, you'll be kicking yourself.
Well, I know. This is why I try not to bet.
Yes.
Because then I don't end up in those sort of situations.
Or doing these kind of previews where people ask you for predictions.
Sort of like counting to three or touching my forehead or, you know, all these odd things where you think you can actually influence what's going to happen in a sporting event when you actually can't. You just sit there watching.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Neil, thank you very much for your time. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you.
Neil Custis from The Sun, of course. If you want to follow Neil on Twitter, if you're not one of the almost 50,000 who do already, then it's at NCustisTheSun on Twitter. Thanks for listening. You can download this podcast at audioboom.com. You can also go to the FWA website, which is footballwriters.co.uk. It's available on iTunes as well. Just go to the music store, type in William Hill Football, and you can subscribe to all of our podcasts on the Premier League, the Football League, and the European Top Flights. Thank you for listening. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.